The Gambit is New Orleans' alternative weekly paper. Because of an online forum set up by the Association of Alternative News Weeklies based in Washington, D.C., we were able to track down The Gambit's arts and entertainment editor, David Lee Simmons. He evacuated from New Orleans to Lafayette, where it seems he found shelter at the home of another city's independent weekly editor. As a culture critic and a citizen of New Orleans, he's had ample opportunity to consider the cinematic depictions of the city he loves. Ultimately, those images may be the dominant artifacts of a vanished city, because though it may be rebuilt, historic New Orleans is most likely gone forever. David Lee Simmons joins me now from Lafayette. David, welcome to OTM.
Thank you very much.
So let's tick off some of the most famous movies set in New Orleans. Elia Kazan's 1950 film Panic in the Streets features Jack Palance as a killer with pneumonic plague, no less, hiding out in the city.
Panic in the Streets captures New Orleans about as realistically as any of the movies made about or set in New Orleans. It does a very good job of capturing kind of the lower life that exists in New Orleans, the hoods, criminals, people who are sort of scraping to get by. And Palance's character is very indicative of that. In fact, there's a rat metaphor that is used in the film to kind of describe him.
Well, then let's talk about the film that follows Panic in the Streets, which is also by Elia Kazan, A Streetcar Named Desire from the Tennessee Williams play, which is famous for Brando's impassioned Stella and Vivian Leigh's professed reliance on the kindness of strangers.
Yeah.
So is this quintessentially a New Orleans film?
I think it's a quintessentially New Orleans film in its poetry.
So late. Don't you love these long, rainy afternoons in New Orleans? When an hour isn't just an hour, but a little piece of eternity dropped in our hands. And who knows what to do with it?
This is sort of an apartment dwelling of lost souls, which I think you see recurring again and again in films about New Orleans. It's funny, I often tell my friends, while a lot of people come to New Orleans to find themselves, I think many more come to New Orleans to lose themselves. It's just sort of this odd place of refuge where nobody bothers you. You really can sort of make yourself anew. So Blanche's desire to make a new life in New Orleans, obviously she made a really bad choice, but you know, this is her place to sort of start a new life.
Blanche made some bad choices because the place is so wide open. Do you think that's why bordellos are such a frequent New Orleans movie trope? I guess it has its historical roots. I'm thinking of a couple of films. There's Walk on the Wild Side,
sure,
which is a 1962 film starring, among others, Jane Fonda and Barbara Stanwyck as a lesbian brothel owner.
Yeah.
Did that film have any resonance for you?
Well, I think the main character, played by Lawrence Harvey, is a visitor to the city, and he's obviously trying to kind of find his own way. I think any movie where a stranger comes to New Orleans, and often they don't realize what they get themselves into, it's this film noirish land where nothing is as it seems, it always resonates with me because I came to New Orleans not necessarily knowing what to expect, but certainly having my own assumptions, and then they're just completely changed. It sort of defies all of the expectations and the cliches.
And so I wonder how those themes fit into Louis Malle's 1978 film, Pretty Baby, a disturbing story of a 12-year-old prostitute played by Brooke Shields.
Why are you glad it's me?
Well, you look nice and we have a nice chance. I can feel the steam inside me right through my dress.
I mean, you're looking at a film that's probably one of the few to really provide a sense of the Storyville district of New Orleans in the early 1900s, where they tried to essentially regulate illicit behavior, and most notably prostitution. And you see an outsider, a photographer, inspired by the real-life photographer E.J. Belloc, who is so enthralled and in love with the city that it manifests itself, it becomes eroticized in his falling in love with an underage prostitute played by Brooke Shields. It's a disturbing film in that sense, but it does definitely challenge your sense of morality. And I think anybody who's lived in New Orleans for a period of time certainly starts to think about morality one way or another.
I know what your favorite New Orleans film is, and we'll get to that soon enough. But first, I wonder if you'll talk about some of those New Orleans movies that you love to hate so much that in the end, maybe you kind of like them.
There's such a string of New Orleans movies that are underrated or that initially seem bad, but they always have something in them that's really worth noting.
One of them is King Creole, starring the King, Elvis Presley.
There's a man in New Orleans who plays rock and roll. He's a guitar man with a great big soul. He lays down a beat like a ton of coal. He goes by the name of King Creole. You know he's gone, 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 jumping like a catfish on a pole.
Elvis's favorite film by far. He had a great director in Michael Curtiz, who had done Casablanca. It's about this troubled kid named Danny Fisher who lives in the quarter with his very emasculated father, played by Dean Jager, and his sister. He's literally just trying to get out of high school, and he just keeps getting into trouble. And sure enough, as often happens in an Elvis movie, he sees music as a way out of the quarter. The story kind of envisions him as a prisoner of the French Quarter, as somebody who's sort of trapped by illicit behavior, by crime, by gangsters.
You take a film like Angel Heart, which starred Lisa Bonet fresh off The Cosby Show, or Cat People, or Interview with a Vampire, and you get the drift. There's something not quite right about The Big Easy.
Well, you're definitely not going to see a Preston Sturges film in New Orleans. Although there was a movie, I think it was called New Orleans, that starred Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday that was just nothing but a celebration of New Orleans music, which I highly recommend. But yeah, you keep coming back to words like death and decay and lost souls and decadence and morality. Morality plays a really big part in most of the films that are set there.
Now let's talk about your favorite film, and I gather many people's favorite New Orleans film, and this is Jim Jarmusch's 1986 Down by Law. It's not exactly a talkie film, but let's begin with the opening image. We'll play the music, and you give us a sense of what's going on.
It's a million in a drop-dead suit, tuck shipping on a downtown train.
If I had a dollar for every time I ran into somebody at a neighborhood bar in New Orleans who sounded and acted or sung like Tom Waits, I would be a millionaire. He sounds like a New Orleans Skid Row bum. It's such a gritty, lazy, offhanded intro, but the visual that you see while this music is playing is of facades of New Orleans shotgun houses or little black kids playing in empty lots. You see beautiful houses. You see ugly houses. I mean, right away, he sets the tone for how pretty and ugly everything can be in New Orleans, I think.
What makes Down by Law a great New Orleans movie?
There's something about, I've always thought of New Orleans as a cool city, and I think the word cool is a very hard word to define. And I think that Jim Jarmusch is about as cool a director as you'll meet. And I'm glad you mentioned how wordless it is. One of my favorite scenes, frankly, when they escape to survival and Roberto Benigni falls in love with the woman who takes them in, they play It's Raining by Irma Thomas. She's the soul queen of New Orleans, who thankfully was found alive a couple of days ago.
It's raining so hard. Look like it's gonna rain all night.
And it's just an amazing, there's nothing else but the start to finish playing of It's Raining. What movie would do that? Would just let a song play out with two people lazily dancing in the morning in their underwear? It's just, that's New Orleans to me.
David Lee, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your inviting me on.
David Lee Simmons is the arts and entertainment editor for the Gambit New Orleans Alternative Weekly Paper. The editors and writers from that paper are coordinating their whereabouts through the Association of Alternative News Weekly's website, aan.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.